You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hello and welcome to Jumpy Kneepod, an All Japan Modern Day podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today my special guest is Dr. Jonathan Foy.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry, I just missed my cue already.
It's all good. Don't worry. Thank you for joining me. We've done like one podcast before, and the one we were supposed to do, unfortunately, couldn't make it. So I'm glad you're back. You're here to talk about All Japan and your time in Japan, which is something we'll be going over today. The episode is going to be a little bit different. We're only going to be talking about one All Japan show on the 29th, but we do have lots of other little things to talk about. So straight away, we're going to jump into your time in Japan. So you were there. You went to Sendai Girls on the 2nd, All Japan on the 3rd, NOAH on the 4th, DDT on the 5th, and on the 6th, you went to All Together and All Japan. So 6 shows in 5 days. And my first question is, how exhausted were you after the last show?
So after the last show, I'm just thinking back here. That was on the 6th. That was end of the carnival. That was the last block day. And I was pretty wrecked after that. So Kurikan Hall is sort of, everyone that has been there knows this, but it's sort of situated there in Tokyo Dome City. And pretty sure across, like directly across from there, if you draw a diagonal line from Kurikan Hall, diagonally across from there, there's this ramen place that not too many wrestling fans go to, it seems. I kind of went directly from the show to there and kind of just collapsed for a meal there. I was also working on a freelance piece that's going to be out relatively soon for Inside the Ropes. So a lot of this wasn't just watching it like normal. I'm also taking notes. I'm also trying to kind of think about what to write and all that sort of thing. So that takes it out of me as well on top of that. But no, that was still all so great. And yeah, you look at the list here of shows I went to, I'm like, oh yes, I really did go to almost nothing but wrestling the whole time I was there. So the 29th, I got into Japan. Talk about being exhausted. I don't sleep on flights particularly well. I got into Japan at maybe 5 in the morning. And so I had a mad rush through the airport to get to the terminal where I could pick up my pocket Wi-Fi. And with no sleep and kind of with trying to pick all of that up, I ended up going to the wrong terminal twice. So I've been to every terminal. I know Haneda Airport pretty well. Like I know Terminal 3. I don't know the other two terminals until now. Now I've been through all of it. So I picked it all up. That was fine. And I had a bit of a rush around town, had to get to see my friends who were going to see, of all things, on this wrestling trip, The Iron Claw. Like, I watched that for the second time and I thought I'd fall asleep in the darkened theater, but I didn't somehow. Didn't cry this time until the very, very end of that movie. I won't spoil it if people haven't heard it, but yeah, on this wrestling trip, I started off watching The Iron Claw. I met with Fumi on one of the other days. I didn't have any wrestling shit happening to go over a book that we're writing at the moment about All Japan Women's. And I visited Tudokan on one of the other days, I think my last day there. So that was a lot of wrestling stuff to cram into a little over a week. It was 9 days altogether. I think I had one day with no wrestling stuff.
That's crazy. Because when I was in Japan back in January, I watched All Japan on the 2nd and 3rd, and then TJPW on the 4th. And that's just 3 days. And I was exhausted after 3 days.
You can, and it's possible to get burnt out watching wrestling with all the stuff that's happening over there in Japan. Like, this was Golden Week. So this was a straight week of them having multiple shows a day and them trying to get foot traffic. It's the same during New Year's, isn't it? Like, they have, you know, everything shut down in Japan in New Year's. So you'll have just about every company in Tokyo will put a show on. Kurikan Hall has two shows. I think I've even seen one time they had three in the same day. So
wow.
If you're over there at that time, it's tempting to binge on as much wrestling as you can. It's up to you to decide what break you need. For me, I think I had about the upper limit there before burning out on it. But all the shows I went to were pretty different too.
So we're going to get into All Together and your experience there a bit later. But for now, All Japan. So you went to two carnival shows, the first one being the homecoming of the Saito Bros in Miyagi, and the sixth, which was A-Block Finals. So starting off with Miyagi, tell us about it. What was your favorite match? What was the vibe? The Saitos are back home.
You've heard the cliche by now that vibes were immaculate. But this one, I recommend, by the way, anyone that is going over to watch wrestling in Japan, consider building in a day outside Tokyo if you can go to any regional shows or anywhere outside of Tokyo, because I make the same point in the piece coming up for Inside the Ropes, but you get a different show that way. Like, the wrestlers are more available for some reason. It's a lot of them trying to probably make some money by signing stuff, and you'll see them more out there in the arena. So at this one, I think just about everyone was out at some point, either to take photos or to kind of sell their wares. So I met Lord Crew. I met Hartley Jackson. I met Kento Miyahara very, very briefly in the 10 seconds it took to take a photo and to get my stuff signed. He's incredibly kind. And you know, when you see them and the light isn't on and they're not in character or whatever, it was kind of interesting to see how kind he was to everyone. I think he's a different person away from, you know, when he's on camera and everything
like
that.
He's like in ring persona.
Yeah. He's in, yeah. I mean, yeah, you would have seen it too at the I think in December or January.
Yeah. I met him in December when they had the signing.
Yeah, that was incredible. Like, that 10 seconds. Lord Crew was incredibly kind too. Like, he took a quick photo with me. I asked him how much I could give him for that. Like, I had some yen on me and he's like, don't worry about it, man. Let's just get the photo done. Yeah, he's a very kind guy. He had another fan take a photo with him that he signed. And actually, it was an 8x10. And one of his 8x10s he signed for this fan. And it got smudged or damaged during the course of the match or whatever. And it wasn't his fault at all. She just let him know online. And he said, let me organize you a free replacement. So he worked very hard to get over with that Japanese crowd. And he was very, very kind to fans that would take the time with him. So I hope that they bring him back for what that's worth.
And how crazy did people go for the Saitos?
Oh, that was insane. So they had a local TV camera crew in recording for what I take to be maybe a local news channel or something to cover that. And they had basically, obviously everyone knows they switched arenas up to this bigger place. I did a quick chair count, which looked completely scientifically accurate and all, but I spotted 30 chairs that didn't have anyone in them. And this was 1,470 people were there. So you could have maybe seen about like 1,500 chairs there in the building, but that's incredible for like a what was meant to be a small sports show. So I think they realized this was a major event. And so they booked them to do the meet and greet afterwards. They booked them to kind of meet as many fans as they could. They did that little bet as far as the whole, he couldn't eat sweets until Ray was not allowed to drink if he lost, until June said otherwise. That was incredible. That was clearly very over as a stipulation. June was clearly very, very unhappy after that and sold that perfectly. Oh, the crowd were fucking insane for this show too. To use a kind of scientific way of describing them, they were fucking loud and just constantly too. Like, and that was incredible to see. You know, sometimes you see the fans at these spot shows all around the country and they're kind of quiet or more sedate, I don't know, than maybe your passionate Tokyo crowds. But these people were every bit as passionate as any other audience I've ever been in, and weren't especially polite about that either. They were super loud. Sometimes stuff doesn't necessarily come across entirely on camera with All Japan TV. I noticed a lot of the crowd reaction gets muffled. It's a bit hard to kind of capture that entirely. Even Kurikan Hall, you've probably noticed, like, is loud.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw this too, but the shots, like, especially during the Kurikan Hall show, I noticed that Dan Tamura's offense especially is really, really stiff, or seems that way, right? It makes a sound anyway. And that doesn't necessarily come across on camera when I watch the same match back.
Yeah, some things, you know, seem and hear different when you watch it on TV compared to being live. But I don't think there was any doubt of how much the crowd loved the Saitos. Like,
yeah,
if you saw the line that they had after the show for signings, it was massive. So
that happened. They kind of announced it right after the match. And I wish they would, if they haven't already, if they show that on All Japan TV. But the line, people went immediately over and they were kind of running to get there. And so this line formed immediately. The Japanese ability to organize something so well, so quickly, was clearly on display there. So yeah, there was a mad rush to get there. And I always went, you know what, if I can kind of get there, I will go. But I took one look at that and went, no, yeah, I'm not going to make this. Like, I had to get a train back to Tokyo that night. And my train was leaving 2 hours after the show finished, which was enough time really to get back and to kind of get my stuff and go, but not really enough time to line up there. I think I still would have been waiting. But yeah, it's an amazing experience to be a part of and to be there for that. I was glad I took the time. I was kind of iffy about whether or not I would go to Sendai. And during Golden Week, it's a very, very busy time of year. It's the one, for those that don't know, it's the time of year when people in Japan get, most of them get like a full week off. You get at least 4 public holidays. And then on top of those 4 public holidays, people take time off and it's a rare full week off. So I was worried. It's notorious for people being all across the country. People go home and visit their families, or people will go to cities that otherwise don't visit very much. And in this rare week off, the airports are crazy. Disneyland and places like that, forget about it. So I was on the fence about whether I should take a bullet train anywhere, but I was glad I did. Just that show by itself made it worthwhile.
Yeah, it was really great. And just the main event captured everybody. They loved it. But moving on to A Block finals on the 6th, I got to ask, were you happy with the way A Block ended? Because I was mixed about it. I thought B Block was the better block in finals and matches. A Block was just like, okay, Kento and Davey Boy. While B Block was like, here's 5 people who could win.
Yeah.
So were you happy?
So, I mean, I was. I enjoyed Davey Boy versus Kento. I thought that was a great main event. I might be on an island with this one, but I actually really like Davey Boy Smith's run during this carnival. I'm kind of responsible for him getting to this. That's my claim to fame, which is that, like, I mentioned this to Dylan on the Eastern Lariat, but basically I suggested it to a mutual friend of ours, and this mutual friend without realizing I was joking, just said to him, hey, yeah, I've got a friend here who says you should go to All Japan. Have you tried that? I ended up DMing him and just saying, yeah, I'm the friend in question. You should try it. If you don't go and do that soon, there's going to be a lot of foreigners that are going to try to go over to All Japan now that they're sorting out bookings and stuff. So he ended up asking me kind of who he should contact for that. And I listed a bunch of names. I'm pretty sure I had actually nothing to do with it, but until he tells me otherwise, or until somehow it's disproven, I'm responsible for him being booked in my own mind anyway. But no, so I think you're right though. I think in the terms of the overall booking, it was a funnily booked carnival, wasn't it?
Hmm.
It was uneven. I thought like they announced it during the show, right? They announced it at the very beginning of the show, if I'm not mistaken, that the block final would be Kanto versus Davey Boy, which just takes a lot of the heat out of those other matches.
Yeah. And
easily had, like, say, Yuma or someone like that. If you had Yuma have a few more points, or if you had even just one to two other players that were involved, you would have had a much more tense and important final show. But they didn't book it that way. I guess they wanted to demonstrate that this is the match that is important, that these are the guys that matter. But I think that's kind of pointless in that respect.
But how is Korakin? Because I've been to three All Japan shows, like I mentioned, the second and third. I also went to the one at Yoyogi on the 31st. I didn't get a Kento ending. Basically, everyone who was in the main event, if it was Kento, he lost, or like somebody else. So what's it like in like a big Kento ending?
Pretty deafening, because like he's over in a way that I don't think I've seen anyone else outside of maybe Kazuchika Okada. And even then, Okada had plenty of people that were cheering against him in the shows that I saw him at back when he was in Japan. In this case, there wasn't a single person in that building that was cheering for Davey Boy over Kento. That was a clear face heel divide there, and Kento had 100% of the building behind him, which I don't think I've ever actually seen, including in other Kento matches. I've seen other Kento matches where, like, I saw him against Kai at the start of 2019.
Oh,
which,
wow.
Yeah. It was fucking loud then. This was louder than that, though. This was much, much louder. And Kai was great in that match, so I think he picked up a certain amount of support. But in this case, yeah, I don't think a single person was against Kento for that bout. And yeah, it was loud. And this is on a night too. They had down the road, I had to walk through quite a big crowd of people to get to Kurikan, because at the Tokyo Dome, they had 50,000 people there for a boxing match.
Yeah.
So you saw quite a lot of people at and about around Tokyo. So they had heavy competition, including All Together, which they were meant to be a part of. So they had their own competition there. Interesting situation there.
Well, Champion Carnival is done. So now we move to the show on the 29th of May. So All Japan announced this show was sold out and had to open the balcony for standing room only tickets. That was honestly great, considering this was a weekday show and they were going head to head with Noah's Limit Break 2 show. And also to note, Asuki Oyagi was on commentary for the whole show. He's still on crutches after his surgery on his knee, but he's looking pretty good. So hopefully he's healing well and will be back ASAP. So we start off with Ren Yabe and Shotaro Ishino defeating Hokuto Mori and Kuma Arashi in 9 minutes and 27 seconds. I was surprised to see this as the opener, since it's usually the junior spot. Hokuto is still in his horse boy era. His horse friend is still there, but at least Omori didn't wear the mask. It was just his horse friend. I thought this was very fun for an opener. Ishino trying to stop Arashi yelling only to be met with boos from the audience was great. And it's just great in general to see Kuma back in All Japan. He just fits so well. He seems like he's joined the Hokuto army, making him the first member. So congratulations to him.
I guess we're just calling him horse boy for now, as far as the guy that's accompanying Hokuto.
What's going on with him? Why is he a horse boy again?
So I was up really close to him at the Kurikan show when he was wearing the All Together shirt. And then they did the All Together music after Hokuto won that match. And I've got a guess as to who this guy is, based on physique, based on gear, and just based on kind of other images I've seen and some other rumors I've heard.
Tell us.
So, okay, 2AW has a wrestler there who looks roughly the same height. I'll show you a picture if I can get a side-by-side. but Tatsuya Hanami. So Hanami is a really, really good junior heavyweight wrestler. He's very talented. I've only seen bits and pieces of his stuff, but the people I've spoken to about him have said this guy is great. And if he could be there for All Japan, that would be fantastic if he's the guy under the mask. Now, maybe it's not as impactful as if it was someone else that they could unmask, but I'm hoping this leads to it being Hanami, because that would be then a good way to introduce someone. I'm hoping, though, that this is, we're going to unmask him, we're going to introduce him, and not, you know, a case of it's just Horse Boy and that's that's who you're getting, which I'm worried that that little bit, that that's what they're doing. You had a couple of opportunities here where you could have unmasked this guy and you could have kind of gone with it. But I will send you in the chat a picture. I think it'll make it pretty clear as to kind of why I think it's this guy.
Yeah, I was looking at Omori's last opponent in the Champion Carnival and I was like, okay, it's Yuma. Yuma's going to unmask his Horse Boy. Like, that's just Yuma. He's going to do it. He didn't. He came in with a mask himself. It would be nice to be a wrestler who could join the Hokuto army and like add something to All Japan, but it's just like, stop this, Omori. Please stop.
I mean, he was, what happened to the end of the tag tournament last year? He won, he basically won the whole thing, right?
Yeah, like, he did.
He was the guy that kind of got the most out of all of that outside of Nakajima himself. The situation with him right now is such a mystery as well, because I don't know if you saw, but after that final carnival show, Hartley Jackson and a few other people were doing in the backstage bits Nakajima's Keep Your Eyes on Me taunt, that whole like finger point at the eye.
No.
I'm like, they're just teasing us now with this. Like, surely they can't do that if, and wasn't Kuma Arashi doing it as well?
But I feel like he's done that before. Like, that's a thing that he does.
Okay. I don't know. I'm like that conspiracy meme from Always Sunny in Philadelphia at the moment. But yeah, I really do hope that this leads to Nakajima coming back. I know that he's not always necessarily the most popular guy. A lot of people on the internet, for some reason, have a funny kind of thing when it comes to him. But I really enjoyed his All Japan stuff, as controversial as some of it was.
I'm very 50-50 on him. I see people like, oh, Nakajima could be on the mask, or Nakajima's coming out at the end of the Triple Crown match. I'm like, please no. Leave us alone for a bit. But he posted a video on Twitter. Someone gave him an envelope. We don't know who it is. So we might see him show up in New Japan. They had got Dominion coming up, I think. Some people say Noah, he's going back. I don't know if he'll be welcome there, but who knows?
I'm sure he would be welcome if he was interested. It's a question there of kind of why would he go back to the same place? He's done it all there at some level. I think the place that would make the most sense for him would be All Japan, but that's just my AJPW bias. Probably we'll see where he shows up, if anywhere. Yeah, I think it would be weird if it was him under the mask, and I don't think that's the case.
It's not going to be him.
I think of so many better ways to bring him, including him just walking through the crowd.
So moving on to the next match, we have the TV six-man tag team titles. All Japan hasn't forgot about these belts. They're finally on the show. Suwama, Maya Yukihi, and Mayumi Ozaki defeated Hideki Suzuki, Chi-Chi, and Zones in 11 minutes and 40 seconds, and I absolutely love this. Hideki coming out to Barbio and dancing with Zones and Chi-Chi was wonderful. And I love Chi-Chi's just cowboy-inspired outfit. I thought it looked great. The wrestling was pretty good. Nothing serious. It was really more comedy than serious wrestling. But Suwama having a crisis whether to hit Chi-Chi and Zones, the fans booing him, only later to just like kick them and hit them. I thought that was just silly fun. And it just made me so happy to see the Evil Girls again. And even like Ozaki-gun, like their group back. No offense to Actress Girls. I know they're great and they have a lot of fans, so please don't come for me. But it just makes me angry that we have them and not Evo Girls and like people like Ozaki, Yukihi, Unagi was here. She was doing a lot and they just disappeared for Actress Girls and they weren't getting the most love. They moved them to the start of the show so people wouldn't leave mid-show when they came on. I just... Miss them so much. I was so happy they're back. Hopefully they stay for longer. I know backstage they said, oh, we'll be back. And especially because I have the belts. I hope the belts are shown more now. And we do get Mayumi and Yukihi. And backstage, the winning team had cake. Swamma made some really weird faces. Like, you have to see. It's strange. It is very, very strange. But he mentioned Tsuji Ishikawa, which got the fans excited. I miss him. And if Yuma Oyagi could bully Naoya Nomura back to All Japan, hopefully Suwama can do the same for Tsuji.
See, clearly Ishikawa and Suwama working together on Evo Girls, they're both still involved in that project. Evo Girls is now, being booked clearly again in All Japan on All Japan cards, which happened very, very quickly. It wouldn't surprise me if they were able to rebuild that fence. It might even be a matter of just trying to get the guy in as a freelancer at that point. I would hope that they could at least do that, maybe for tag league or similar. It might take longer than that. It clearly has required them to do some rebuilding here, but we've seen Takao Mori back. And that was maybe a month after he left.
Yeah,
He just
he was
shows
back
up
straight
again.
away.
One of the most overacts on the card that he was on there in Sendai, like at that Miyagi show, he was one that got one of the loudest reactions. I thought he maybe should have been in the carnival. I don't know kind of what the rationale is. Maybe he just became a freelancer so he doesn't have to wrestle each and every week at his age or something, but I feel as though he could still, if they were able to mend the fence or if it's something that they need to get over, he would be great to see back. I'd love to see them re-sign him, but for whatever reason, those guys are still out for the time being. But it's a good sign, good that they can keep bringing them back and that Evo Girls is back. I don't think they ever even stopped sending talent from All Japan to Evo Girls. They seem to still book Dan Tamura there for their shows and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a strange situation. I just hope, as you say, that they continue.
Yeah, I think a lot of the fans are happy to see them back as well. We've basically grown with them or seen them grown since their debut to now, and it's just so great to see. But moving on, we got Kureisho, Tokyo, Japan, defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 11 minutes and 10 seconds. I originally forgot this match was on the card. I hated their champion carnival match, so I wasn't looking forward to this at all. It kind of looks like we're getting dark or evil Jiro. Dylan and I were actually discussing that a while ago, and it looks like it's coming true. We know he'll be truly evil if he gives up his super long entrance or just gets in the ring, teases the fans, he's going to get out. Like, no, I'm staying. I'm done. So fingers crossed we get that because his entrances are a drag to sit through. But after the ref got knocked down from a drop kick from Yuma, which was hilarious, by the way, Jiro brought in a chair. Yuma got a hold of it. He went to use it but couldn't bring himself to do it. Jiro did, added a low blow for good measure. He won and then proposed a no DQ match between the two. So we got another Jiro versus Yuma match to look forward to. Did
When
you
this
like their champion carnival match?
No, I did not.
Good.
When this happened the first time, I was like, okay, well, at least that's done, I suppose. I didn't think Jiro should have been in the Champion Carnival. And I'm not even being a Jiro hater when I say this, because watching him live is a lot better, right? Like you see him come out through the entrance way, you wonder where he is, you see him go through the crowd. I understand them booking him to get that experience, but we had to have so many of those entrances as a result of this. You could have booked Kuma Arashi in his place instead and had Kuma go through and have his usual great matches. And then instead of Kuma being the tag guy, put Jiro in that spot and have Jiro do the occasional entrance. But anyway, that it's done now. But yeah, I did not like that match. I didn't like either of these. But I do think though, Dark Jiro would be, ironically enough, one I'd like more. I think he could be enjoyable as a heel. Which would be ironic that he's trying to turn the crowd against him while, cutting down the part of his act that we don't like.
I like that you said it's more fun live because I said that and people are like, no, it's still Jiro. But being
Yeah.
there live is actually pretty fun because I think the fans make it. They're so happy to see him. He could do six entrances and they'd be wanting more.
Yeah. And it's hard to convey. Same with Kento, Kento's charisma. Live, right? Like the way he explodes into the room, you can put a camera on that. You can try to explain that to people, but you have to actually be there and feel that in person, I think.
Moving on to the juniors, Fuminori Abe, Dan Tamura, Karasato, and Naruki Doi defeated Rising Hayato, Musashi, Seigo Tachibana, and Seki Yoshioka in 11 minutes and 58 seconds. When these guys came to the ring, I suddenly remembered Hayato had no challenges for the belt. So scanning his opponents, it wasn't going to be Dan or Sato since they're tied up with the All Asia Tag Team titles. Doi, maybe, but Abe, I was like, yeah, it's him. Fuminori, Hayato, we're going to get it. It's Junior Action and All Japan Juniors. They're great. I will say that every episode. I love them so much. They deserve it. And if you are unfamiliar with the two All Japan Juniors we have now and the regular guest spots, I reckon this is a good place to start. They really put on a fun, entertaining match. Dan still has a lot of anger towards Tachibana. God, he went for him during the match, after the match. He didn't care. But Abe submits Hayato and walks away like it was nothing. Hayato had to be the one to call him back and then put forward the junior heavyweight title challenge, which I thought was interesting. Hayato said he was frustrated, but can't forgive him for seeming not interested in the junior title.
This one, I think, sometimes we hear about sicko matches and kind of the following that they have. I thought that, like, as soon as this was on, as soon as I saw the wrestlers making their way to the ring, I thought this is a sicko match, and it was fantastic. I love all of these guys. One of the rare times when you see kind of everyone in the ring, like all of these guys are perfect. But Seigo Tachibana and Dan Tamura's match for the Gaara TV title was actually one of my favorites on that card. And in that, I think it was over that well. All Japan clearly agreed because they put that on YouTube for free. So anyone that, I don't know kind of how you're listening to the show and don't have an All Japan TV subscription, but if you don't, check out that match. I'm visible in the crowd during that one because I was in the front row.
Yeah, I saw you the whole show.
It's so awkward, isn't it? Watching it back, being like, oh crap, I was there. Like, but yeah, I need to show my son that at some point so he can make fun of me for it. But yeah, he absolutely, I think, would get a kick out of that.
Now to a interesting match, the NWA heavyweight title. EC3 defeated Riki Honda in 12 minutes and 27 seconds. So I tried to watch this, but I couldn't. After a while, I'm just like, no, I can't. So I went on Twitter to find out what people were saying, and I saved a few of my favorites. There are people that like him. They like this match. They wanted EC3 back, but they were the very, very small minority. So here's what I found. It's been a while since I've seen such a sloppy foreigner. It was so slow. EC3 legs aren't moving. Maybe he has a bad knee. EC3 is lame. You don't have to come to All Japan anymore. What a strange wrestler. There is no need to be shy. Let's just say it clearly. It was boring. Honda's German is pretty. Is EC3 being sluggish on purpose? The champion is a bit sluggish. Honestly, EC3 is not that impressive. EC3, jet lagged? Boring. Wait a moment. EC3 can't move at all. The All Japan Pro Wrestling we've seen isn't like this. And lastly, looks like the match will be decided before the excitement can even begin. My thoughts, all those tweets combined, plus this match was bad. Skip it. EC3 has gone home. He was here for like a day, the match, and that's it. I will say one positive. At least he brought a belt with him and didn't challenge for an All Japan belt.
It reads a little bit like one of those segments that they have. Sometimes, you know, the celebrities read mean tweets. But those would be more entertaining than this match was. He wrestled like he was injured. I don't know if it's just that he's simply too muscled up now and simply kind of can't really move all that much, if there's a mobility thing there. But when he went to do at one point, I watched this entire thing, the whole like 12 and a half minutes. I wanted to give him a chance because I was not keen about this. I was keen about this in the abstract because they're bringing the NWA world title back to All Japan for the first time in 35 years. I thought I wanted to give that a chance. And they played the old school music before this, which was kind of cool. They had all the touches that you'd want. But for whatever reason, it's just he seemed injured. And then at one point he did this spot, like I mentioned, it's from the second rope. He went through this like this kick. And it was clearly a point where, as far as kind of his opponent went, Honda didn't pick up on that's what he wanted to do. So he stopped And then he comes over in this, oh crap, I've missed the spot moment. And yeah, and then he hits it, but it's the most awkward looking kick you've ever seen. Just, yeah, again, it sounds more exciting than it actually is to have this NWA working arrangement or whatever it is. It may not even be that. This could be a one-off. But yeah, I certainly hope if it's going to be the case that they will work with them again, that I hope that they might have a more exciting, more dynamic person there as champion. I feel bad to say that. I don't like trashing the talent, but the reality here
say
is
it.
That it just wasn't good. It just was not great. I wanted it to be, and I wanted to give them a chance, and it just did not work. And I don't know, I guess it's just me trying to control my narrative or whatever, but I don't want to say much more than that.
You wanted it to be good. You wanted Honda to have a good match, but it just wasn't. As soon as EC3 came out, he just looked out of place. He looked nervous. He looked like, this is what I'm doing, really? And the crowd just weren't behind him.
Like, he did maybe two things I liked in this. One of them, there was a moment where at the very beginning, he does this kind of like this lock up, they go to a stalemate, and then he does this very insincere clap and thumbs up kind of thing. That made me go, okay, I'm going to give the guy a chance. That looked awesome, right? This kind of like smarmy dickhead. And then it didn't improve very much from there. He also did one decent backdrop, but that was about it. Even his finisher just did not look convincing in this. I think clearly that they kind of thought about the history, sort of the historicity or the historical nature of all this much more than they did the fact that they were getting EC3.
Yeah, it's not got a great rating on Cage Match. I don't really look at Cage Match because some of the reviews annoy me, but this has like 3 point something out of 10, and it deserves it.
Yeah, I'm not always a big fan of Cage Match's ratings. Some of the people that they've savaged over the years, including Motoko Baba, like that, her page is horrendous on there. But absolutely, this deserved 3 out of 10. Maybe I would have gone 4. I sound like Bret Hart here when I look at this match and say 4 out of 10, but it absolutely took the goodwill and ran with it and needed it. But I think if we're going to see some more out of this, we can hopefully get some better performers there from NWA coming over to All Japan. I would kind of like, I was actually talking to a friend about this. If they could get anyone out of this deal, the one I would actually like to see the most would be the old Rock and Roll Express to get them in for an old man tag with Fuchi. I think that's what I look for out of this more than anything else. Outside of that, I'm not really all that into it.
Fuji's still recovering from his one match in January.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. That was such a great match. Were you there for that one?
Yeah, well? I actually forgot to mention that before. Yeah, I was there.
Good, I mean, he was so Fuji over with live. That. And he did a great, great performance there as far as trying to get, not just in terms of getting himself over, but in terms of getting Yuma Anzai over in that match. That he did a lot for that particular match.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I loved it. Let's just talk about that match instead.
Get Fuchi for the NWA title.
Oh, wow.
Against someone other than EC3, switch the title and then have Fuchi go for the title.
Why
my
not?
Gender was Fuchi Triple Crown. But right now, maybe Fuchi NWA world title.
You're more interesting.
More interesting than EC3.
Well, okay. Who has more mobility? EC3 or Fuchi?
Oh, shit.
And if you don't know, I will say Fuchi is 70 years old.
Yep.
Just in case. So what's the answer?
He was there on cards in like 1975 too. Like he remembers back when the NWA membership of All Japan was a new thing. So I think, I think as far as that goes, though, that's more exciting than what we've got here.
Wow. I think that's just a dream. But talking about foreigners, these two did get over. It's the World Tag Team title match. Jun Saito and Rey Saito defeated Otison and Paro in 11 minutes and 56 seconds. If you're unfamiliar, Otison and Paro have wrestled in All Japan in 2018 and 2019, so they weren't total outsiders like EC3. It has been a while, but the fans gave them a good reaction, but the reaction's nothing compared to the Saito brothers. They're just so loved and adored. Honestly, it was 12 minutes of just two big teams throwing power moves around. The End are sticking around for the rest of the tour, so this won't be the last we see of them. And we'll talk about what happened after later, but what do you think of the match?
I love this. This was what they need to have more about, like with the foreigners that they bring in. This one reminded me a lot of like the Road Warriors and that kind of style. I haven't seen, they had a kind of in, I don't know if it was 2019 or 2020, they had like a video to hype up The End coming back, and then for whatever reason it didn't end up happening. So this has been a long time in the offing, and this one worked out much, much better than the previous match. So yeah, I'm happy for them to stick around. I hope that we can maybe see them back for Tag League. But yeah, I definitely think though is right that the Saitos went over for this one. I don't want them to cut that reign too short just yet. Obviously they have some, no doubt, some singles matches ahead of them. I suspect, and we'll talk about the reaction and we'll talk about the main event shortly, but I suspect they'll have something to do with the Triple Crown before all is said and done and not too long away.
I do think the End coming in was like a little test. How will they go to book them for Tag League? Because they fit. They've done two Tag Leagues, I think. The first Tag League I watched in 2019, they were there. But talking about the End, the best bit, not the tag team, the end of the match, I will say. The ban on Jun eating sweets has been lifted, and he finally got to eat them again. He looks so happy eating them. I did clip it and put it on my Twitter, so if you want to see it. But after the sweets, Ray got on the mic and said the Saitos were going to take all the belts, but cannot because they are not juniors. So they brought in a third Saito brother who just happens to be Naruki Doi. He says his mother's maiden name is Saito, so it all checks out.
And who can you trust if not Naruki Doi? Like, he has to be telling us the truth when he says that. And yeah, I thought here that this one, basically, get yourself someone that looks at you the way that Jun Saito looks at Swedes, because the look of pure joy on this man's face was like nothing I've ever seen. Yeah, he looked so devastated after that match in Miyagi. So,
but Naruki Doi, what do you think about third Saito brother?
I love this so much. he looks so out of place with the man. I think he could also, he comes across as so charismatic as well. They don't need a mic, a mouthpiece or anything like that, but he could just be that third person, add that little bit of extra something. And obviously, unfortunately, the whole deal with Doi and, you know, with not Suzuki-gun, off-brand Suzuki-gun, kind of faltered. I don't know why. I loved seeing Suzuki in All Japan, but they were a great team as well, briefly. But if he's not going to be around, and if we're not going to see Suzuki, then to see Doi teaming with these guys is great. They could try to go for the six-man tags or something. That could be a fun match.
I love Doi's little doom afterwards. His voice isn't as deep as Junior Ray, so it was just so funny to hear.
I've always thought too, with the Saitos having such deep voices, I won't even necessarily, won't try to do the sound like they do, but I've always thought they needed someone with a squeaky voice to do the
It's just perfect. Like, who would have thought? I thought Doi was coming out to challenge.
I thought too. I thought, hang on, he's not a heavyweight, what's he doing out there?
Oh, well, they had Usyk and Haito versus Kento and Yuma for the tag belts.
True,
So
true. Yeah.
why not have Doi?
Yeah, and I was wondering who his partner was going to be. I obviously missed enough of this. I had the sound down really low as well at the time. So yeah, no, clearly I think they see to the potential there because clearly they managed to get enough dates for Doi to be able to pair him with a team like the Saito. So hopefully this just continues the trend of having Doi booked regularly in All Japan.
Moving on to the main event, the Triple Crown title match. Yuma Anzai defeated Kento Miyahara in 26 minutes and 48 seconds. And this was just fantastic. This match is getting so much praise, and I 100% agree. It's the best All Japan match of the year, hands down. Like, nothing comes close.
This is my current pick for match of the year.
It's so good. I love it. I just wish it happened a bit later in Anzai's reign. I'm not going to dwell on that because I can do that for hours and we didn't have hours. But Anzai beating Kento in the Triple Crown match is a huge fucking deal. This is amazing. And he looked amazing. The Anzai beatdown in the carnival again and again was gone. The dragon suplex on the apron, fantastic. The reversal into Fuji's face lock, fantastic. Anzai hitting the shutdown suplex, and fucking tastic. He was so great, but Kento was right there with him. The elbow spots that Kento was taking and just backing Anzai into the rope with this look on his face was like pure anger. I was like, where is that Kento? I haven't seen that Kento in a long time. That was great. I want to talk about this match, but I don't want to give too much away because I want people to go and watch it for themselves because it's just amazing. That's your homework. Go watch this match. And come back to me with a report about it. We'll talk about the challenger and what happened after, but Jonathan, go on about this match. What do you think?
Oh, it's an opportunity gush, right? So Yuma looked different, didn't he? Like I swear that he had a different cadence and a different way that he wrestled in this match. He looked confident. He didn't look like so. I saw him at Noah in last year during that their N1 victory tournament when he was booked for them. And he had when he'd walk out, he would look nervous, right? He had that nervous look on his face. He would take big breaths. He would have to sort of paused to compose himself on the way to the ring. He looked like a different guy here, and nothing looked nervous or looked like he was that rookie anymore. I feel like this was like a graduation, and kind of I agree with you though on the timing of this. Something I'd suggested to Dylan was I wish that they had booked him so that he could have these matches that are coming up for the Triple Crown. And we can talk about them and that booking in a second, but I wish he could have had his champion Road B that he would defend against other challenges before defending against Kento. Put that on a big show. You could have put this on in the Budokan, frankly. It was so great, and clearly it drew well. It drew a sold out crowd to Kuroken Hall, and obviously in all of that, you can attribute that to this match. You can't attribute the EC3 booking for that. Maybe one or two old-timey NWA fans that wanted the hell they were getting in the end there. But no, this was, like I said, this is my match of the year so far. Just the spot where both of them go for the knee at the same time and both of them get nothing but knee. That was awesome. You mentioned the apron dragon, the way that he kind of hit him with that, but fell off the apron himself was awesome. I could gush about this all day. I don't tend to like any more to kind of rate matches, you know, with numbers. I think you kind of have to let the matches speak for themselves and kind of speak to what is happening in them. But I swear this is a 5-star match just going by that. I need to rewatch it at some point to be more objective. But I was like every stereotypical white person clapping at the end of a flight off this match. I was applauding in the fucking living room. It was awesome. I did not expect Yuma to go over as far as Anzai's win goes. I thought Kanto was getting the belt here, so that was a pleasant surprise. And I think that this is the right way because we could have had Kanto be the wall for Yuma, but instead we're going to get someone else will be that for him. It won't be Suwama. He's already defeated Suwama, but maybe we'll see maybe something like a situation where Yuma Aoyagi is his wall or someone else, another veteran, stands in his way. And that would be brilliant.
I discussed this in episode one with Lewis, but we thought how cool would it be if Ray was Yuma's wall, because he didn't defeat him in Champion Carnival. I don't think they've ever faced 101 besides from that. So that'd be really, really cool, especially because they're part of the new generation together.
And like Ray's finisher is amazing in and of itself, mm-hmm. and kind of the eyes bind, basically like, it looks like the shote, but it also kind of looks like a clothesline right to the face when he lands it. the one that he landed on his brother looked fantastic like that too. Yeah, I think there that kind of the Saito brothers are so organically over, and I think they're kind of ready to be in the spot that they're in. They've earned every bit of this. Yuma is way too good for someone that has been wrestling for 2 years. And it's hard to say that the Triple Crown champion has been only wrestling for 2 years, but that's the reality. And he's so far along at the moment.
Well, Ray does have a right to challenge. But before that, Hideki Suzuki, who also has a right to challenge, came to the ring, touched the Triple Crown and left without a word. What do you think about this challenge?
I utterly love it. I love Hideki Suzuki. I think he can be someone that kind of his mileage varies. You know, he doesn't always have 5-star matches. He has to be motivated. But I think Lewis put him over perfectly well in your last episode as far as going into, you know, kind of how great Hideki Suzuki is. He summarizes that better than I could. But the reality there is that Hideki is a throwback to, you know, back when wrestlers were all talented at catch and when they could actually all throw down if they had to. And I think as a first challenger, he will be great. First post-Kento challenger, I mean, he'll be great. I think too, we are getting Ray, and I think we're also then getting the third person that defeats. Yeah, as far as his own tag partner goes at some point as well. I think that's these three matches they've announced for the upcoming tour, where there will be three Triple Crown matches in the same tour.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
I don't think we would have seen that years ago.
I just want to throw back to the Champion Carnival for a second, because I want your opinion on this. When Anzai topped out to the single leg Boston Crab, did you like it or did you hate it?
I initially hated it. I thought it was only because I felt at that point that the champion hadn't had a chance or enough of a chance to shine. I would have liked to have seen some more out of that. You know, I felt like he was treated too much like a rookie in the tournament for my liking at the time. And then I kind of, you know, took some time to think about it and rewatch the match. I was like, oh, I can't continue hating this. This makes perfect sense. He's eliminated that way from the tournament and it was impactful. So yeah, I get the concern though. And certainly I think more strong booking is on his way for sure, based on this match and based on the three matches he has coming up in the same tour.
I need someone else to like it, because I really like the ending with Anzai tapping out, especially to Hideki. It was the right person to tap out to.
Oh, no shame like tapping out to Hideki as well. And I think at least this way, we'll probably get a very different match between them as well, I think, for the title match. And I can't fault any time that Hideki Suzuki gets a Triple Crown match. I think that's the first time it's ever happened.
Mm. But after Hideki left, Honda, followed by Ryzen Hayato, and then Rena Yabe came out. They have formed a new faction. I called them New Period. I don't know what their name is, if they're going to keep New Period or go with someone else. I love Ayabe's comment where he said, Anzai, Honda, and Hayato looked like they were having fun, so I just came out here. Like, that's how you join a faction. These guys are having fun, I'll join them.
That sounds like the best way to base your career decisions on. Kind of. Yeah, I think here, it doesn't matter what their name is, I think it works well as the basis for them being a unit. Initially, I thought when I first saw these guys walking out, I thought, okay, these are going to be Anzai's challenges for
same.
I thought it was gonna be like Suzuki and then it was gonna be Honda and then everyone else. I thought they're lining the matches up now, and then like, hang on, Rising Hayato, we're gonna get him challenging. I guess their match was indecisive, as far as the champion versus champion match was a draw, so maybe he's challenging off the back of that. But no, this is much better than that. I hope that we can maybe see some tussles between them and Evolution as well, as far as other factions go. There aren't too many factions in All Japan at the moment. I think you could definitely see, you know, thankfully the Voodoo Murders are gone. I think this is a much better kind of other faction to have in their place, but absolutely, we could see more of that. Maybe now that Doi has the Saito brothers in tow, he could continue to add de facto Saito brothers or something.
I am a little bit sad with Rising Hayato joining this, because Kento's now all alone. And I will always love the Kento, Yuma Oyagi, Asuki Oyagi, Rising Hayato group, because 1 minute they're next stream, then they're not, then they're broken up, then they're back together, then they break up again, and then they get back together again. And like, Asuki's by himself now. His partner's now with new period. He's still healing. What's going to be there when he comes back? Just his brother and Kento.
Maybe they could have a strange ongoing team between the three of them, like call them not next stream or something like that. And again, they have such a fun dynamic between them because of all the times that, you know, Yuma teases it to this day, turning on Kento again.
All the time.
So you could continue to just play up that and continue to have those guys bicker. I know Dylan on the show that you guys recorded together talked about how much he hated that tag team between Suwama and Hideki Suzuki. I fucking loved that because of how these guys were like the brawling kind of old men that can't get along, like at a nursing home or something. Like, I think we could have the same dynamic between Kento and Yuma and make that the basis of a faction.
I don't mind the Hideki Suwama tag team. When they work, they work, but like, sometimes they can be just so off. But at the Buntai, like, they were fighting over a supporter towel. I'm like, these aren't old men, they're children.
They kind of split the difference nicely between 1 second they're probably old men, the next second they're children. Both like two of my favorite performers there. I do hope that we get some more from them. I mean, it was a decent 6-person tag match. We got mostly comedy from them, but they can turn it on when they need to.
So we're going to leave All Japan there. That was the 29th show. I think it was fantastic. I smiled so much during some periods. My cheeks were hurting. Go watch this. Skip the EC3 match, but watch everything else.
I don't know. Maybe watch the EC3 match if you want to see what we're talking about as far as being a sadist, maybe. And maybe like through some bad wrestling so that you can see what good wrestling looks like.
True.
Apart from that, skip it. Yeah, it's unless you're a sadist or someone like me that enjoys terrible, terrible things.
But now it's time to talk about All Together. So before we get to the second show and my little rant about it, you went to the first show, not the whole show, but how was it? Did you like what you saw before you left?
To preface this a little bit, I got tickets. Originally, I bought tickets to All Japan for the carnival. I couldn't not go to that. And I had front row tickets at that. And then after doing that, they announced that this would be on at the same time, like a couple of hours later. So I thought I'd have more time than I did. I thought I'd get a couple matches in and then could decide, do I make my way to Kurikan for the main event? Or do I just like stick around? I decided, no, go to All Japan, see the entire show. But I did manage to see the first three matches at the cheapest possible seats that I could get in the Nippon Budokan. And it was good to be in the Budokan again. You know, it was good to go to that arena. It was kind of good to see that place that has so much history and is such an important part of wrestling history. And, you know, it's a cool deal, the whole All Together thing. I still enjoy seeing those companies come together. But I did feel a bit like it was a bit sad to see just under, you know, it was under 4,000 people there in the Budokan. And this gimmick clearly of having all the companies or most of the companies, I guess, was most together. That does not seem to work in attracting enough people there. Obviously, you had competition from All Japan. You had competition from the big boxing match that was happening on the same night. But you can organize this such that you can get more people. So that was a bit disappointing to see from that standpoint. But yeah, I sat there. I enjoyed the first three matches. I haven't had a chance to view this again because we don't have a legal...
Yeah, we can't, yeah.
Watching that here. I spoke a little bit to Justin Nipper from CyberFight about that, and it's to do, he said, broadly speaking, with, or I suggested it was to do with maybe the licensing and the laws of it. And he said, probably that. So, you know, we'll see how this shakes up if we get even a chance to watch future shows. But, you know, All Japan's absence is clearly felt, I think, here. But I'm happy enough that I saw a couple of matches on that card. But clearly you have some other thoughts about this whole deal.
Before I get into that, I just have a question. Did you notice more fans from like New Japan or Noah, or do you think it was all mixed?
Oh, see, it was hard to tell from where I was seated, but it was hard to kind of break down the fans in that some fans very clearly wear the colors on their sleeve and other fans would just show up and you couldn't quite pick where they're at. So I didn't quite get a firm sense that there were majority New Japan fans or anything like that.
Okay. So in episode one, we talked about it a bit. I think everyone thought All Japan would be on the second altogether show. They couldn't make the first show since, like we said, it was the same day as A-Block Finals. The second show was set up as a makeup show for companies that couldn't make the first one, except no one from All Japan was booked. Other companies like TJPW, Gambare, and Dragon Gate are nowhere inside either. I know TJPW has a show that day and Dragon Gate is down in Okinawa, but this is really bullshit. For this makeup show, there are 42 wrestlers and 36 of them are from Noah and New Japan. They have two from DDT, two from BJW, and two from Stardom. And that's it. They should have just booked this Noah versus New Japan. What's the point of an all-together show if you're not all-together? All Japan has nothing that day, absolutely nothing, and like hardly anything that week, to be honest. They could have made this. And if you remember last year's All Together show with just Noah, New Japan, All Japan, All Japan came out looking great. Probably the best company out of the three. And Kento was getting loud cheers, like probably the loudest out of the night. I don't know. Maybe the other companies are just jealous. Who knows? But Yuma Oyagi says he wants to pull All Japan out of this and isolate them. Yuma talks a lot of shit. So who knows if he's being honest or not. But fans agree with him. I've seen a lot of fans say, yeah, pull All Japan out of this. What's the point? They're being left off again. It's kind of sad, but it makes me angry. Altogether three should just be all companies except for Noah and New Japan. Keep them out. Exclude them. But I have another thing to ask you. What do you think about people saying this is because of Nakajima and the president? It's their fault. Like, was Nakajima worth it? I'm just like, why should they have anything to do with All Japan being left off? But what do you think?
I think that anytime you hear people make comments like that, just provide them with that one gif from that film, The Room. Oh, hi, Mark. Because like, at what level do they know like how Nakajima is operating? Like, no one knows what's going on there. And so much of this is character work, as far as what Yuma said, as far as all of this comments being in Tospo. That's a kayfabe rag. I love Tokyo Sports, but it is a kayfabe publication and a gossip rag. He does a lot of character work, does Nakajima, which makes him seem erratic and makes him seem like a problematic guy, right? Like he comes across as that. But the reality there is that that's his character. And we all found out wrestling wasn't real. And I'm sure that devastated a lot of us. You know, I was probably like six and these people were probably like 12, 13.
I remember exactly where I was when I found out wrestling wasn't real.
Where were you when you found out wrestling wasn't real?
I was at the top of my street in front of the house and my dad told me.
And you ran all the way from the top of your street down to your house. So, I mean, in all of that, right, we all remember that, but then people kind of go, well, they want a way of kind of still buying into things and kind of having their second kayfabe. So maybe that's how people do it sometimes, is buying into these rumors. Nakajima wouldn't have had anything to do with any issues with other companies or exclusion. There was a brief legal tussle where someone wrote them a legal letter to stop using Antonio Inoki's license and Antonio Inoki's likeness to take part. And so he covered stuff up. That was probably it. And that was probably necessary from a legal standpoint to issue that letter. That doesn't mean there's this big residual heat between people and these businesses are at each other's throats or some shit like that. Like the reality is that they probably had a brief legal thing there and they probably dealt with it. Nakajima hasn't been around for a little while, but he was wrestling there from what, November to the month that he left this year. He hasn't really had time off other than that. So I'd like to think he's just having time off in all this. Look, I think if there's any heat on All Japan, it was probably more to do with the way that the president at the time did not consult with people before making the exclusive actress girls thing. Even that seems to be mostly dealt with, them mentioning Shuji Ishikawa on air and on their program, and it seems like they've managed to mend the fence with the Evo girls. So it wouldn't surprise me if any heat that was there has been dealt with. So I don't know. I hope people can move along. I hope that has nothing to do with this. It was quite clear to me initially that All Japan went on the first show because they had the champion carnival to get through. Their absence is a bit more conspicuous here, but in every piece of major communication, they are still included as part of this United Japan deal, which is more about them having a chance to lobby government and to work together as an industry than it is about a single show like All Together anyway. So yeah, I hope that they have another show down the line that could be better, that maybe can play a little better to the All Together concept. I do look forward to Jake versus Naito though. I think, you know, I'm going to find a way to watch that. It's a shame it can't be through official channels, but I'll find some way to see that, I'm sure.
I remember the day they released the card. It was like match by match. I'm just like, okay, Naito versus Jake. We knew that. Next match, Noah versus New Japan. Okay, next match. Another Noah versus New Japan. Okay. Then next match was like, okay, these are two DDT guys here. That's cool. Next match, Noah versus New Japan. And then they released the full card. I'm just like, where are the other companies? Where's Dragon Gate? Where's TJPW? Where's All Japan? I'm just like, why wouldn't you want Kento on your show when he is a draw? Yuma Aoyagi is a draw. Anzai is a draw. They have proved it. Look at their numbers when they were champion. Why wouldn't you want them on your show?
Maybe if you thought we've done enough with the one to two matches you've booked that have any juice to them, which sometimes is a very, like, it's a mentality that some promoters have. But yeah, I don't understand it. Don't know what's going on inside all that. But maybe they hate money. Maybe they thought, we don't want this big interpromotional show to draw too well because that takes away from our own individual efforts to draw by ourselves. So this way they can say, no, it was us and it was all us. I'm sure there's a lot of tussling and a lot of interpromotional jostling that goes on to a show like this. So for whatever reason, they've opted not to go in that direction. Maybe the nice thing could be if All Japan have more shows that are not announced, that they'll do at the last minute, that they'll spring on us so we get more wrestling. I don't know.
They do have their own charity show coming up where I think it's free to enter. I think tickets are free. So they have that next month, same month as All Together.
Ridiculously good card for a charity show.
But it's just very frustrating where you want to just say, hey, this is All Japan, look at our wrestlers. Aren't they cool? Like, this is Kento. And it's just like, what happened with
the first one, right? The first one there, one of the standouts, and they put him over in commentary, was Rising Hayato.
Mm.
Who, by the way, when I was in Japan, I swear, like, I was walking down the street of Asakusa. I was on my way to buy Sarah a knife, got her a really, really nice sharp Japanese knife. And on my way to that store, I swore I saw Rising Hayato walk down the street. If it wasn't him, it was someone that looked very much like him, which is a pretty rare deal. And then I thought to myself, I'm not going to look again. Because if I look again and he's there, I'm going to mark the fuck out. Or if I look again and he's not there, then I've somehow got Rising Hayato on my brain enough that I look and he's not there. So I didn't look twice. So to this day, I don't know. It's going to be a mystery.
Rising Hayato is awesome. I love him. We all love him. I met him and I was like freaking out the entire time. And he was speaking English to me, which was, he didn't have to do, but I was really, really appreciated. Yeah.
How was his English?
Good. He asked me where I was from. And then I said, you should come down to Australia. And he said, I would like to. So I'm just like, do it.
Get the whole crew to come with him. Do a damn tour. I'm sure we've got a few reputable promoters down this way who could put together a decent enough tour with local guys and with All Japan guys. That's, yeah, that to me is the dream, if All Japan could ever get to that point.
Like, did you see Hartley Jackson was talking about bringing Nishino to Australia? Yeah.
That was so that he could take him for strong zeros and go, and
Yeah.
he also wanted to do the same thing with Hideki Suzuki. He wanted to take him so they could get drunk together in Australia, which if you can't do a wrestling tour, I think that's the next best thing.
Do it.
That was someone else I loved on this tour who I thought did fantastic things as far as that went. Hartley Jackson is doing big things. They're always just good to see another Australian out there doing well on the Euro circuit.
I think we covered all together. I
Yeah,
can rant about it for much longer.
it
It feels like Noah and New Japan were on the phone to each other, like, when are you free? Oh, I'm free on the 5th. Or so are we. Oh, but every other company isn't. It doesn't matter.
had a Mean Girls conversation where
Yeah.
I had the third and fourth party come in very, very briefly to discuss things. Yeah, I don't know. They could have booked just an inter-promotional card. I think they would have had some juice to it if they did that, if they just booked New Japan and Noah. They were doing that previously.
Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe the third one, All Japan, will be there. Maybe the whole roster storms the ring at All Together too. Who knows?
Inter-promotional invasion, lots of heat, UWF style.
Yeah, the 10 All Japan roster members, because our roster is tiny.
Oh, it has grown though with
Yeah.
Ayabe, and there's potential there. I'm just waiting. I think Kumarashi or someone like that should be the next signing. There's so much potential there.
What about Tachibana?
Tashibana probably the next, and then Kumarashi after him if we're up to me.
So, just some notes. Next month is absolutely packed with shows. Like we already said, they have the charity show. So, on the 8th is Yuma Aoyagi's 10-year debut anniversary. He has three single matches scheduled: Hokuto Omori, Riki Honda, and Kento Miyahara. On the 9th, Junior Heavyweight Championship match between Rising Haito and Fuminori Abe. On the 24th, the Triple Crown Match Championship between Yuma Anzai and Hideki Suzuki. And if you want to watch all this, subscribe to alljapan.tv. It's 900 yen a month. It's worth it, I promise. And last episode, Lewis and I gave our thoughts about who the wrestler of the tournament from the CC was and match of the tournament. So, Jonathan, who was your MVP from the Champion Carnival?
So I think I kind of went with the winner as far as Kento went. I thought that Kento had my favorite matches on this thing, the match with Davey Boy and the final. He kind of started slowly and he didn't entirely turn it on. It took him a little while to get going and have the kind of matches that we know he's capable of having in this tournament. But I think that was the story of the tournament in general, and that they sort of had matches that were good to begin with, but not great. And I think we got great matches at the end in general with this carnival. It wasn't, wall to wall great matches. It was a slower burn than that. But the standard was such that the last two matches were fantastic and above a lot of the things I've seen in ring this year. He also went to give Yuma his best title defense so far. So I've got to go with Kento for this one. But did your mileage vary? I've sort of momentarily forgotten who you nominated for.
I think Lewis and I both chose June.
Yeah, that's a fair shot too. I think a lot of this we're going into it kind of going, and I've heard the sentiment that Ray is the better Saito brother, but I think after that tournament, you could definitely argue the opposite.
And what was your number one match?
For the reasons that we went into about the Sendai crowd and about what that was like to be a part of with a crazy crowd and with the hometown heroes returning, I have to go with the Saito brothers exploding. It may not be a five-star match and it might not be to everyone's taste, but it was a wild brawl and you kind of want to see those when you're alive.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing, really. Just that they whipped each other into barricades. One of them hit the other with a barricade. They both hit each other very hard as well, which was crazy. So I think all things considered, that's my favorite match. It's not necessarily a five-star match. It's not the best match from a technical sense, but when you're there and you're there in the crowd in that live experience, you can't really trade anything for that. So I got to go with that one.
Yeah, I picked the finals, but like top three was the finals. Anzai versus Honda and the Goro TV title match, because that title match was amazing.
That one is utterly up there on my list as well.
So we have come to the end. So thank you all for listening to Jumping Knee Pod. I appreciate you all. If you want to contact me, you can do so at Sister Jessie with two S's and two E's on Twitter, and follow my All Japan account, Royal Road 72, because like I said before, the All Japan International account is inactive. So it's just me now.
At some point, we've got to basically get a campaign going for a few of us to take over running of that account, because given the work that a lot of us are doing anyway to promote All Japan to other people in the wrestling space, we might as well officially do that.
And Jonathan, where can people find you?
You can find me at Jonathan Foy, or one word, on Twitter. And apart from that, my two books, Ganbaru, which looks at All Japan after the split, and the Muto years are available at the moment as well. So if you can find those on Amazon, appreciate all the support and all the people that have read those so far and offered their feedback.
Thank you all once again. I've been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next episode for more All Japan.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show, because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This has been a Countout Podcast.